It's 10 o'clock, you're tuned in. It's time for the 10 o'clock audio play. This one is called The Blandness of Strangers. It was written by Chris Wade and Sean Dimery before they died. Of course, Wade died of TB and Dimery died of a really massive brain tumour. Very sad. This is read by me, Lord Howard Finkel. Reverend Bernard Bland sat alone in the village pub, surrounded by the smoky scent of many a brand of fine quality cigar. He sipped calmly from a glass of R. White's lemonade as he read his flimsy paperback novel. It was the very picture of mid-afternoon relaxation. In his moment of peace, a man approached the Reverend's table with a full pint, spilling it everywhere as he shuffled along like a pissed-up old fart, a drunken Quasimodo of a man. He was messy, a shambles of a bloke, the slight odour of piss lingering in the air around him. Then he spoke, with a voice of chapped leather and dusty age.
"May I join you?"
he growled, his face all distant and fucked up. Bernard was more than a little stunned by his visitor's appearance, but being a kind local pillar of the community, he allowed the man to join him.
"By all means,"
he softly said, shuffling on his seat of sponge and cloth, which was supported by a simply assembled chair of beech. The man sat down, grunting as he did so, exhaling his foul breath of onion rings and fish broth. The Reverend found it hard to mask his disgust, his face curling up like the grooves of an old accordion.
"Nice afternoon, innit?"
he said, a smile appearing on his shit lips.
"Splendid,"
replied the Reverend, sipping his lemonade in a moment of embarrassment, trying to ignore the many varied odours which permeated from the man's body, crevices and face.
"What you needin'? Anything good?"
he barked, spitting strange brown particles onto the Reverend's malt cardigan and his furrowed brow.
"Oh, it's nothing much, just a book. Flimsy old paperback,"
chuckled the Reverend, thinking up an escape plan already.
"The art of the written word, lad,"
sighed the man.
"What is more rewarding, to write or to read? Well, I, for instance, love to read. Always have. Reader's Digest, Radio Times, Health of an Efficiency, Reader's Wives, Just 18, Razzle, all that stuff. Bit of the old top shelf gear, eh? Of course, now, I need those old reading glasses, as to clear up the old small print. Proper old chappy now, me. Look like that old Emperor Hirohito fella. I noticed the colour, lad."
The man pointed to the old Reverend's thin, scrawny neck, around which was wrapped the obligatory collar, as worn by all men of God.
"Yes,"
replied the Reverend, taking another sip of lemonade.
"Man of the cloth, eh? Always good to see a man of faith. Always a treat. You're safe when there's a man of religion around, that's what I say. So what faith are you? Catholic? Protestant? Jehovah? Yiddish? Scientologist? Hebrew? What's your preference? Are you a Muslim?"
Bernard chuckled quietly. This seemed to annoy the man, who frowned profusely all over his bellend-like face, which was clearly reddened due to the years of alcohol and tar abuse.
"No, I'm a proud Christian."
"Oh, the Christians. The old Christian game, eh?"
said the man, rubbing his stale, oaty chin, which was rather like an overdone malt loaf.
"I was raised a Catholic. Sorry, chap. He's like a long-lost brother to me, that Catholicism lark. By that I mean I haven't met up with him for years. We drifted apart, so to speak. But I still remember his dashingly charming features, his finely groomed and buffed fingernails, and his delicate precision. Believe in all that, do you?"
Bernard was shocked the man even had to ask.
"What do you think this is? Fancy just a pub, you fucker?"
he thought, but of course didn't say.
"As a matter of fact, I do believe."
"Adam and Eve! Original sin! The apple tree! Talking snake! Devil's temptation!"
the man said, going on an unstoppable rant which slowly and subtly took his face closer to the Reverend's. His butane breath became more overwhelming for the Reverend to accept by the second.
"Big man upstairs, looking down, observing every move, and I mean every move, every single move. You know, private moments in the bathroom. You know, private moments in the bathroom. Having a sound shite on an evening. A lonely, slippery tug of the old man unit. That collection you don't want anyone to see. Films, Billy Old Blue, Sticky Maggie's, Gibsuit. He can see it. He's seen it all. And quite frankly, he's loving it, this godfella. Our moments of shame. He's seen them all. But he doesn't judge. He doesn't judge."
lunch. Bernard remained silent, calculating the most polite yet speedy way to leave the pub. This was no easy task, as much of his pure divine strength was being weighed down by the unstoppable and relentless rot oozing from the babbling man's oily tonsils.
Quite.
remarked Bernard, his eyes darting around, searching for the nearest exit.
Good stuff. Bible's a bloody good read. Best piece of fiction I've ever read. Only kidding. Yeah, it's all good stuff. Can see the attraction.
Bernard's hands shook as he clutched at his pocket Bible for reassurance, trembling under the watchful glare of the vessel of stench before him.
But am I a man of faith? Is that what you want to know?
I asked you nothing.
The big question. Am I a man of faith?
Interrupted the man, continuing in his monologue.
Well, I've dabbled. I'm a dabbler. Bits and bobs, this and that. Jesus, Allah, Zeus. I like cherubs, me, don't you? They all have their advantages, all these types of faith. Their door is open for me. I like the possibilities that these fine options offer.
Bernard got his frightened body just about ready to stand, like a newborn birdling about to fly from the nest for the very first time. The bits at the back of his knees trembled, as if they weren't ready to stand just yet. But for some reason, his voice was tempted to continue the conversation. Perhaps the fumes from the man's pissed-up breath were making the Reverend slightly light-headed and more inquisitive.
So, you have no chosen faith?
There's a grot fella, isn't
it? I see it from every angle. All those possibilities. Like I said, I'm a dabbler. I like a dabble. It's always been like that with everything in my life. I've dabbled with booze, drugs, vice, toboggan, pop-up pirate, buckaroo, hungry apples, gambling, you name it, I've dabbled. Jams. The lot. I've been there. It was the same with footy.
Footy?
Bernard said, unaware of the term. It wasn't a phrase thrown about the parish.
Footy! Football!
Barked the grot fella.
You know, the beautiful game! Soccer! I love a kick about. That's why she left me, I think. The wife.
There was a short silence, a moment of discomfort, which the Reverend attempted to lift with a breezy comment.
Oh, I see. Married to the game, were you, so to speak?
No!
Said the man.
I just kicked it about. The jealousy and all that. I think it's in all of us to do that, kick him about. Rather like the aforementioned football, actually. She would come home, love bites on her neck, all fucked up on cheap wine. I'd get home from work. There was a certain smell in the air. You know that smell? Even you know that smell.
The man's tone was becoming more aggressive, and the Reverend got the feeling the man was mocking him slightly. His face, by now, was almost pressed up against his, and Bernard wanted out.
There was a pair of silk sockies under the bed. They weren't mine. I don't wear socks, see?
The pisshead pulled up his trouser leg to reveal a pair of black tights made of thin, woven fibres, making the chap resemble an old Shakespearean actor. For a moment, Bernard pictured him on a balcony, holding a skull, reciting a poetic sonnet. But that image was instantly shattered when the man continued in his grotty, revolting rant.
There was even the old pair of Grundies there. Skid marks, slight yellowage around the testicle region. The lot. What is a man to think, Reverend?
Sorry to hear that, old chap. I just assumed that she was your second to the love of the game.
Bernard kindly remarked. The twat shook his stained buffalo-like head, and a salty, vinegary sweat was going everywhere. It was like an explosion had gone off in the local chippy.
No! She came before the footy. But that's the past now. The thing is all over. It is now. It bloody is now.
Oh, how very sad. Maybe you'd like to talk about it one time. At church, perhaps.
Would you listen to me? Friend!
The man tried to appeal to Bernard's good nature by appearing as a victim, a desperate man in need of guidance.
I can't guarantee it will be me when you visit the church, but my colleagues are professional, kind, and open men. You will find them suitably friendly, and handsome in appearance. You should go there on Sunday.
I can't make Sunday,
the man said, his misty voice leaking out of his face hole.
That's fish cake day at Mother's gingerbread house. She always makes me good fish on a Sunday. Peas too, chips, blobber mayo, fucking champion, the old ma. The queen she is to me. Better than that old bint we have slumped on throne nowadays. She's probably pissed that old bag. Have you seen how wonky that crown is on a fucking frizzy perm? She's high. High as a kite! Sinner. My mum should be queen. That's what I think anyway. Mam. The great rock of Gibraltar.
Bernard looked down at his watch, and a little plan formulated in his mind. He had an excuse to leave, all lined up and ready to put into action. The man's mother speech had triggered a nice lie in Bernard's head. Yes, perfect. His mother was ill. Awaiting Bernard's visit from her perfect, holy son. Her only son. Her only friend. She was dying. All fucked up and peeling. Bits of her stuck to the mattress. She needed her last rites reading before entering the pearly gates of the Promised Lands. Bernard knew he would get away with lying. This is one of the privileges of being a man of the cloth. No one suspects a reverend or a vicar, or for that matter a bishop, of lying for their own gain. So, he had a dying mum. Yes, that was it. Perfect! But before he could live out his scheme, the man spoke again, this time with a forceful vigour that Bernard dared not defy.
Listen here. I'll tell you what. I will talk to you. Soon as you're offering. I'll talk now. Now!
Well, I was thinking confession this Sunday with one of my very, very close colleagues.
Nonsense, cloth ears. Ears are cloth. You have ears, don't you, lad? You can listen here,
the man insisted.
Well, I would prefer the church. My confession booth, my office, as I like to call it.
But Bernard's kindness and light-hearted attempts at banter were ignored by the man's fucked-up, pig-like senses. He slammed his fist on the table, sending beer mats flying through the air as one glass was knocked over, and proceeded to a rattle and a roll on the table for well over 10 awkward seconds. The man leaned in even closer, his fucky eyes fogging up with mysterious thoughts and a hawk-like commitment.
Listen, blokey. I'm going to talk here, and you're going to fucking listen. Like it or lump it. Jesus healed the needy, didn't he? The lepers. The gangrenous. The ones legless and limping due to their severe decay. You know, people with no legs and that. He cared. Listen to the man on the street. Well, the man on the cobbled road, so to speak. The man on the dunes with the sand between his toes, in his sandals. Look at the Last Supper, he shared all he had. Handed out fishes and loaves. He didn't turn them away, did he? What are you in this for, this religion lag? I'm asking for 5 minutes. Cunt! That's all I ask of you, cunt!
Bernard was frozen to his seat with fear, unable to speak or move a muscle.
Now is the time! No!
At each bark, the bastard banged his fist on the table. That vase in the centre that held the cutlery, packets of tartar sauce and various other condiments, and the numbered wooden spoon for food orders, shook about like a fucking weeble.
Here's how it works, fucko. I go for a piss first, then I'll get us a drink up way back. I wash me hands, I promise.
He cackled like an evil cunt, his brown tobacco-stained teeth overlapping like cricket wickets when hit with the corky. He looked a bit like Dave Hill from Slade, but all fucked up and careless of anything.
Come on, loosen up! Loosen your tie! Loosen your bullets! Let loose! Live a little! Rid yourself of those religious shackles, boy! What you having? What's that you got there?
It's just an Our White's lemonade,
said Bernard, quivering like a beaten hound.
Nonsense! What's your tipple? Baby sham, gin, port, mead, maybe even a dry white sherry.
No, I don't drink.
You don't drink?
Not anymore,
said Bernard, telling a tale with that small sentence.
You don't drink?
The fucker cackled, holding his beer gut and polluting the air with an acidic breath. Wildlife for miles around were dying at the mere whiff of him, ducks passing out, badgers and beavers collapsing into heaps of mud and muck. An otter's skin dissolved with the stench, Like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Nazis meet their bloody demise. Bernard even spotted a Ginster's pasty sticking out of the breast pocket of the man's shit $1 denim jacket.
Have you heard this, everyone? This fucker doesn't drink. Ha! You must. Bit of the old fire water, eh? Grandpa's old cough medicine. Bit of Kendall mint cake on the side. Come on, have a whiskey with me, please.
No, come on now. I did tell you I don't drink.
The man grabbed Bernard viciously by his collar and pulled him closer, roughly.
Listen up, choir boy. You're in a pub with me. My pub, right? I've been sitting under this fucking dartboard for 25 fucking years. Former domino champion, me. I'll have you know. You'll have a whiskey with me out of respect.
Bernard was almost weeping.
Look, I...
What would God think?
God?
Yeah, him! What would he think? And his son, Jesus, son of God, his human embodiment, the very personification of holiness. He died on the cross for our sins, our sins. Carpenter, you know him, carpenter by trade, only son of God by nature. He was an only child, I think. You can tell he's an attention seeker, like all only children. What would he think if you left a man in his hour of need? Walking out of here, avoiding the harsh realities of the plight of the everyday man, like me. I'll be back in a minute. Two triple whiskies coming up.
The man's urge to urinate had become too much for his bladder to handle. Bernard, alone, was contemplating the terrible consequences of even one sole drink. His inner turmoil was almost unbearable.
Oh Lord, why did you condemn me with these heavenly laws? I said I was sorry for all I had done, giving in to those urges. I devoted it all to you. All of it! My life, my soul, my very being, all of it! Donated to you! I was sorry! Oh, so sorry for what I had done! And you knew that, did you continue? And yet, you continue to thrust my sin back upon me! You had done it today, my biggest loss, drunken ass of the soul, knocking upon my door! Oh, wow! Wasn't it enough? I was sorry. Haven't I suffered enough?
Returning from his oh-so-satisfying piss, the man strolled over to the bar, as happy and euphoric as a pig in shite.
Two triple whiskies for me and my dear friend over there. Him, over there, the only one, the bloke in the only get-up. Two triple whiskies, please, and pronto.
Bernard begged for something, anything, any help his lord may offer him in his moment of temptation. This moment of bare, naked weakness.
Oh, Lord, please help me fight the urge, this overwhelming desire to guzzle the devil's soda pop, Beelzebub's beverage, the ever-so-delightable love of the harpy. I promise I'll be a good man for the rest of my days if you kill off this fuck pest immediately. In a bid to assist me in banishing that demonic but ever-so-tempting and delicious alcohol, anything... Do anything you can. I know this may appear selfish, to kill off a man, just so I don't have to have one drink. But if you can't bother to help, maybe other gods can. I know they aren't meant to be any other gods and all that bollocks, but I'm a desperate man. For if you exist in that other pox religion, fire your thunderbolt in his face, strike him down, kill the fucker. Someone give him a heart attack, an aneurysm, brain damage, anything, just so he can't tempt me with a drink. Oh God, here he comes, the fucking... Oh, no!
The man slithered over to the table once again with two glittering glasses of whiskey. They looked so foul, yet so delicious to Bernard.
Here we are! Two triple whiskies. Get it down your fucking neck, my son. Go on! Fucking away, the lads, man! Got your bag of Dr. Hogg's hairy pox scratchings and some Baroness Fishwater scampi fries. I didn't know what you liked best, so I got both. See, I'm nice, me. Personally, I have a fetish for crackling. This is between just you and me, Reverend. You know, confession booth and all that. But I have been known to include that fatty snack in my lurid bedroom activities, nudge nudge and all that.
Oh, you didn't have to do that,
said Bernard. Inside he was dying a death worse than the crucifixion.
Oh dear God, crackling too and banished fishwater scampi. Will these demonic temptations ever cease? Oh, you didn't have to get me these snacks.
Sounding so... tempted.
Nonsense! It's the least I can do. What is your name?
Reverend Bernard Bland, he purred.
Bernard Bland, eh? Oh, nice name, that. Is it Bernard? Bernie? Burn? Bernie-o? Which one do you like best?
Reverend Bernard is fine. And you are?
MacDonald Burns,
replied the man, smog coming out of his gob as he gave away his cursed name. Bernard saw spirits emerge from the man's mouth as he uttered the words. Spirits that howled and screamed as they entered the earth's air. Bernard soiled his undergarment, and the shite trickled down his leggy. Then the spirits rushed off and escaped through an air vent.
Everyone calls me Mac around these sodden parts.
Around these parts? What on earth do you mean?
Well, I'm well known round here. Bit of a local character. An eccentric. Some might say the village twat.
Twat? Do you mean twit?
Inquired Bernard, trying hard to ignore the shite that ran down his leg like a desperate mucky canal.
No!
Barked Mac, his voice echoing in the pub.
Twat! You know, twat, minge, muff, mot, vagina, vulva, labia, clit, cunt, lady's part, the female sexual organ. Even you must know that.
Oh, of course, the twat.
Yeah, they call me the village twat. Bastards.
That is indeed a little harsh. And why have you been branded thus?
Oh, it's quite embarrassing, really. I don't think I want to get into it.
Okay, let's not.
Take a sip of that, father. Why don't you? Drink up,
said Mac, sliding the full glass towards the Reverend across the table.
I'd best not, really,
gulped Bernard.
Just drink it, Bernard,
Mac said, forcing the drink into his shaky hands.
No, I really don't.
Bollocks, Bernie! Bollocks!
Snapped Mac, his eyes red and full of rage.
Get it down your fucking neck, you gullible fuck! Judas, heathen, scallop beetle, liar, living a lie!
I think I'd best go.
Bernard squeaked, attempting to stand, but Mac grabbed Bernard by his shoulder and pulled him back down to this damned hill.
Sit down, fucker! Drink up, you collared Burke! Drink, 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 fucker, drink!
Mac banged his fist once again on the table. This time the scampi and crackling went spiraling into the air, out of control, like a tornado of light bar stacks. A torpedo of nibbles.
Leave me alone!
Shouted Bernard in utter turmoil.
Drink, you fake, you phony. Jesus liked a tipple, didn't he? Eh, didn't he? He'd have liked umbongo as well. Bit of wine, now drink up!
Bernard suddenly gave in to Mac's relentless demands and took several cartoonishly large gulps of the whiskey until there was no more. He had to admit to himself that he was, quite simply, loving it.
Oh, the taste, the smell, the feeling of it flowing down my throat, the warmth in my tubes, the fire in my belly. Oh, sweet alcoholic friend. Welcome back into my loving arms, my home. A home which is made of skin, bones, and organs which pulsate in unison like fleshy bagpipes. Welcome home.
Bernard sighed upon completion and wiped the remaining liquid around his lips with his holy sleeve.
Now, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Mac asked in the aftermath of the belated alcoholic fulfillment. A small, sinister grin appeared on Bernard's face as he lowered the glass.
No, it certainly wasn't. I haven't touched the stuff for years, and all for good reason. Now, where were we? You were just saying about the wife?
There was certainly a fraction of enjoyment appearing on Bernard's face. Mac began his tragic tale of lust, desire, Christmas jumpers, and hatred.
It's a long story. The wife, you know her, the aforementioned slut. She was seeing this one bloke. What a padlock he was. Fucking fucknut. He was a golf bro. Had hair the colour of a swan's wing. crocodile shoes on his feet, camel hair jacket, Christmas jumper tied round his waist and a pocket full of corn on the cobs. Poser. He had this look, a bit like Paul Newman in that film, Colour of Money. Dapper old gent, way too old for my wife. But I guess you just couldn't refuse or resist that grey old knob of his.
Oh, how terribly sordid,
Bernard said, red-cheeked as he rubbed his thighs, his palms shuffling on the fibres of his garb.
I'm getting into this, Mac.
Yeah. She said he was good with it.
Good with what?
His love rod! His fuck organ! His sex pipe! His Cumberland sausage of seduction! He had better control of it than I did. Like Siegfried and Roy had control of that silver tiger. That tame creature was as silver as his testicular fibres.
Sounds like it gave you quite a hard blow.
Aye,
said Mac.
She gave him quite a hard blow too, as I once witnessed. On our bed. Our marital bed! On those sheets my mother bought us for our 10th wedding anniversary. Dressed in that marital gownie I gave her. Oh, the betrayal. Turns out she'd been knocking off the sly old fox for 11 fucking years. Come to think of it, I had found white hairs on the bed sheets before. I just assumed they were the cat's hairs. For we had a cat as pale in fur as a snowy Christmas. Anyway, then I realised they were from this old, worn-out pubic thatch. Ted Martini was his name. That slick old fucker. Sir McTelly, grinning from ear to ear as he pulverised his opponents on the golf green. All in one. Ted Martini. Martini.
Mac licked his lips as if to imagine a cool martini reaching them.
Do you want another drink, Reverend?
No, I've had one. And I think I'll head on down to the church. I have some things to do. Confession booth and such. It's been nice speaking to you.
Now, come on. Have another whiskey, Reverend. It's on me. Just one more. He'll see you on your way. Warm your belly for the chilly afternoon breeze out there.
Mac put his arm around Bernard.
No, I must not have another. No, no, I refuse it. No more of that sweet, warm, soothing whiskey. That lovely, wet, quenching, calming liquid which fills my heart with joy. Makes me feel like myself again. The man I truly am. The man I want to be. Bernard Bland. Not Reverend Bernard Bland. But I can't. I must not. God forbids it that I do such.
Come on, Bernie. Have another drink, you Burke. Don't be a traitor. Don't be like Judas. He got 40 pieces of silver for betraying his destiny. You got a triple whiskey out of me. It's not even legal to serve a triple amount of spirit in one glass. Technically, you're worse than Judas when you think about it. Because that drink cost me £2.21. New coins. Mint condition. Newly manufactured coins. Far worse than that poxy silver that burnt a hole in the conscience pocket of dear Judas. You would leave here knowing you are worse than him. Judas, the one true villain in your black leather-bound good bookie book. So you, knowing this, would only have the option of hanging yourself. Hanging your not-so-good self from the nearest tree, you bearded sod, charlatan, heretic, heathen, whoremonger, living a lie!
Okay! I'll have the same again. This time, less lime cordial.
Glad to hear it.
Mac left their table, this strange, unplanned union of theirs, and went off to retrieve another pair of triple whiskies for he and his collared friend. Bernard rubbed his thighs with one hand and his beard with the other in delight as he imagined that sweet liquid reaching his lips. Oh, the bliss. Mac quickly returned with two full glasses, beaming all over his sweaty, oily red face.
Here you are, Bernie! Take it! Enjoy it! Love it! Love it!
Oh, thanks, Mackywack.
Bernard glugged away like a man who had just walked through a desert, so thirsty and needy, gulping savagely. Within a moment, it was all gone. And Bernard was happy. Happier than a dog with a hunk of butcher's tripe.
So, what's happened between you and Ted after you discovered the affair?
Asked Bernard, leaning in closer, looking as desperate as a tabloid journalist.
Well, I stayed cool at first. Appeared. Peeked, as you might say. Through the crack in the door. I saw what they were up to. But I knew that anger, at that point, would solve nothing. I saw Ted Martini twanging and snapping his braces about against his naked red rod torso as he boinked away like a mad silver old chimp. He had the sweatiest ass I had ever seen in my life. It was glistening in the morning sunlight like a newly waxed Buick. I stayed very calm, of course, and considered my options. My plan of action, if you like. I went outside and sat in my rust vessel for a while until I saw Ted leave my house, looking all smug, fastening that Christmas jumper around his oily, flabby waist, sucking in his gut to remain the golf pro superstar he so wanted to be. I followed him slowly in my silent, stealthy shit bucket of a car until we reached his home. And then I did what any honest good man would.
What, you hit him?
No. I powerbombed him.
There was a silence, as if the whole world had gone quiet to hear the rest of the tale. Bernard had a slight, oh so subtle, bulge in his corduroy slacks.
You powerbombed.
Yeah! I powerbombed him! I showed him who was boss, who was the king, who was the master, the jack of all trades, the lord of the fuck!
Oh, how interesting.
Bernard suddenly became overcome with emotion. Emotion which was hard to define. Anger? Arousal? He didn't really know. It was the drink in him, flowing through his tubes and pipes like when the rivers ran red and the plagues came to town.
I've come across these types of things many a time in my life. In my professional career as a man of the cloth. Men have urges, desires, jealousy. We're all guilty of it. And I've had to listen to some truly disturbing tales from the mouths of this townspeople. There's nothing unusual in your actions. Believe me, I know.
Mac frowned. Suddenly there seemed to be a reversal of power. Mac was intimidated by the perking up of the old reverend, whose eyes bulged and forehead perspired. He looked like a sweaty, old, faded memory of a man.
What do you mean, dear reverend?
Mac asked, sounding vulnerable and worried.
There are many sordid tales of love, sex, and envy in the world. Much emphasis on the word sex.
Sex?
Yes,
yelled the enraged reverend, raising his arms in the air like when Moses parted the sea.
Sex! 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 Oh, sex! Sex! Oh, sex! 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 Yes! Yes! Sex! Sex! Sex!
It was a grand spectacle, a dramatic scene of revelation!
I don't understand!
I could tell you a few stories, a few little secrets from the holy shrine, a few naughty tales, exclusive nuggets. Oh, yes. You'll be amazed what we get up to.
Who is we?
Mac asked, uncomfortable with the way things had turned.
Me and the devoted who come to confess all their sins. Come on down, sinners! Come on down!
Sins?
Yes,
Bernard said, as if it was so obvious.
They're dirty little man sins. Well, I say sins. Are they sins, really? Are they really sins? Because we are all guilty of certain depravities, are we not? Certain regrets?
What is going on?
Asked Mac, his worried face and brow dripping wet with panic and confusion.
I get many men come into my booth, confessing all their sins, and I must say I find it frightfully delicious, these precious confessions in my wank booth.
Bernard paused for a moment.
My confession booth. No, what the hell? Who the fuck am I kidding? It's my wank booth!
Admitted the Dark Reverend.
You what?
Mac asked.
My toss lair! My masturbation manhole! My grot unit! My cubicle of muck! My wank booth! My fucking wank booth! My wank booth!
What's going on? I don't understand!
Bernard shoved his face right up against Mac's, veins pulsating, the redder getting redder, the cock getting harder.
You should see some of the looks on the old woman's faces as the men go limping out of the booth, shaky-legged. Their faces lined and scarred with grid-like patterns from being pressed up against the sliding partition in my fuck booth. It's not a wank booth, fuck booth. As I have my delicious way with them, nibby 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 marks on their necks, my wandering teeth, my curious gnashes, their clothes torn by my claw-like nails, which I have purposefully grown longer, so I can be like a desperate bird of prey in mating season. That's for slim pickings and dirty little man-sinners like them. See? Look at my fucking nails!
Bernard held up his hand, his claw-like grabbers. It was true, the nails on his man-talons were long, yellow, and as sharp as a dagger.
The men's eyes dart around the equioles in shock while they digest the harsh truth that they have had one hell of a time. Who says sin can't be fun? Not me, in my little wank booth, that's for sure. That's the God's honest truth.
There was an awkward silence between the two men as they sat there in the pub, which had, quite understandably, gone rather quiet. The atmosphere had turned sour, and Mac was in shock at the Reverend's unexpected outburst of filth.
I think I'll go home now,
Mac whimpered sheepishly.
Gone, piss off, cunt! Drunken bum, hobo! Get out of it, cunt, piss off!
Mac left the pub, looking like a man who had just escaped death. Shell-shocked and ruined. In his lone moment of realization and acceptance, Bernard loosened his collar and waved at the barman. The collar blew about as a slight draft came in through the air vent.
Another triple whiskey, my friend.
Bernard reached out for his flimsy paperback. It was Animal Farm.